Welcome to the FantasyGuru.com Franchise Focus Podcast. Now here's Matt Kemp, Joe Dolan, and Tom Brawley.
It is time for another edition of the Franchise Focus Podcast here at FantasyGuru.com. Matt Kemp, Joe Dolan, and Tom Brawley getting ready to talk about the Houston Texans. Some interesting moves in their offseason. We'll talk about the additions, the subtractions, the fantasy implications, the draft targets, whatever they may be doing heading into the 2015 season. We will cover all of it. We'll look back at 2014 as well, as we've been doing on each and every one of these Franchise Focus podcasts. And if you want to get a question in for a future podcast or have a reaction to one that you heard already, use the hashtag Franchise Focus and tweet them to us at Fantasy Guru site, at the Matt Kemp, at FG underscore Dolan, at FG underscore Brawley, and we will certainly get to your question on a podcast, or we'll answer it on Twitter. That's what we do. We try to take care of everybody. We hear them all out. It's the offseason, the NFL, but we never stop. Plenty of stuff up on the site right now. Pre-draft podcast with John Hanson and Greg Cosell. The post-free agency podcast, John Hanson and Greg Cosell. All of these franchise-focused podcasts. Pre-draft rookie report by Joe and Tom. A lot of stuff to get to on the site as we are rolling right along in the MLB season. Well, that's rolling right along because it is underway, already a week in the books, and FanDuel is changing the way people play fantasy baseball. It's more fun than ever. Don't wait another day. Sign up now to play one day fantasy baseball at FanDuel.com. Entry fees start at just $1, and you can play for real money with immediate cash payouts, and you don't have to wait 6 months to win a league. Play today and win tonight. Pick a brand new team any day you want. There's no season-long commitment and no upfront fees. Make every game exciting with FanDuel. And the Jaws, we're a week into the season. You know, basketball's coming towards the end. Hockey's getting ready for the playoffs. So, with, you know, football, we're going to get talking draft here. This is the time for baseball. This should get your focus for FanDuel. Maybe you can put a couple better lineups in that way when that's all you're looking at.
This is a great week to do it. Hockey playoffs are just getting started. Basketball playoffs not starting yet. The Masters just ended, so it's kind of a big baseball week. Go out and see if you like it.
I think you will like it, because if you're like Garrett from Denver, you'll certainly like it. On opening day, Garrett won $660. That's just opening day. So imagine what you could do at FanDuel.com. They're paying out more than $2.5 million every single day this MLB season, but you have to play to win, so sign up today. Go to FanDuel.com and click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner. Use our code GURU and sign up now. Special offer for new users. For every dollar you deposit, FanDuel will match it with up to $200 that gets earned as you play. That's a bonus of up to $200. Offers only good for the first 50 people that use our code GURU. Don't forget to use our code GURU. FanDuel.com, where every day is a new season. That's FANDUEL.com. FanDuel.com. Sign up today. All right, guys, let's get into the Houston Texans. And they won 8 games last year with 4 different starting quarterbacks. I'm going to try and maybe find one guy to roll with, but we don't know who that guy is yet. Now, Ryan Fitzpatrick gone. He's now a Jet. He was their guy for most of last season. We saw just a little bit of Ryan Mallett after they traded for him last August. Injured that pectoral muscle. Played an entire game with it. Which was nuts.
Now, do you remember after the game, Mallett said, man, I think he, quote, I couldn't hit the broadside of a barn.
Yeah.
He didn't realize how hard he was hurt. Well, Ryan, there's a reason you couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. Yet you were playing with a season-ending injury.
Yeah, we saw Case Keenum. We saw Tom Savage. I mean, who was starting for this team in 2015? Now, Mallett comes
back.
Could be
an outsider.
Well, that's we're going to see about that. Mallett comes back, as was expected, was working already in the offseason, even though he wasn't under contract anymore, with the Texans. Ends up signing the deal. And they also sign Brian Hoyer. So there's your veteran who, man, keeps getting contracts. Doesn't really matter what he does.
He's had a great career.
He's going to keep making money. he signs with the Texans, 2-year deal worth $10.5 million, nearly $5 million guaranteed. Here's my thought, this guys, is I think you want Mallett to get the start to start the year. I think you'd like that to be the case. I think we think he's got more upside. But you don't know what you really have in Ryan Mallett yet. I think you know what you have in Brian Hoyer. I don't think you're getting any kind of upgrade at the quarterback position over Ryan Fitzpatrick. You got something for Ryan Fitzpatrick in a trade.
There's familiarity with Bill O'Brien from his time with the Patriots.
And I get that.
I understand that. I mean, is there going to be a tangible difference in the results of the Texans if Hoyer is starting vis-a-vis Fitzpatrick? I really don't think so.
No. But, with Hoyer or Mallett, I mean, that's what we're coming down to. I don't think you're going to see it. You said an outsider, meaning Hoyer, I guess. We're not seeing any major move in the draft for a quarterback. And
you're right, Mallett. Mallett's a little bit more unknown, but there's also that, just because we don't know, he has a little bit more upside.
We'd like to know.
Yeah, we'd like to know. We think he can, push the ball downfield. They have a couple
his
guys who can get downfield.
His healthy start, he
looked
went
good.
20-30 for 211, two touchdowns and a pick. For a guy who's never really played before, that's a pretty nifty line there. Now, Bill O'Brien, though, guys, I think demands a lot of his quarterback. And we were sitting here thinking, Ryan Fitzpatrick in general, when he was the quarterback of the Texans, he performed like Ryan Fitzpatrick, pretty well, sometimes not so well. But it was the stuff you didn't really see on TV that got Fitzpatrick benched. Bill O'Brien, I think, saw too many throws that were there that Fitzpatrick didn't make. Too many times Fitzpatrick took a sack when he could have checked down or made a throw. And I think that was driving O'Brien.
And don't you think that gets a guy like Fitzpatrick, who's been around the league already and is a veteran and has made a lot of money, I would think it gets a guy like him benched quicker than a young player where you can work through those growing pains.
And because Fitzpatrick is a guy you play to do those things. If you're not going to make spectacular plays, well, then you better throw the ball when there's a guy open 10 yards down.
You can live with a young quarterback, a rookie quarterback, making some of those dumb mistakes that are correctable. But when a veteran's been doing it for years and years, and as Joe said, you bring him in to just keep the ship kind of afloat here, to not make the – look, he's not that good, but – when he's making mistakes that a young guy would make, and stuff that's correctable, and it continues to happen, that's what lands you on the bench. So no surprise he's gone, and, I think it'll be the same thing with Hoyer. He's a guy that you would hope can avoid those mistakes. We saw it in Cleveland. But when he's ultimately not that good and probably holding your team back more than anything, you want to see somebody else out there, and he's not your future anyway. So, does O'Brien maybe play it safe if it's close? In August between these two, because I think we will have a pretty open competition going into training camp.
Bill O'Brien doesn't seem like the kind of guy that's going to play.
That's the thing. If it's close,
he'll take a gamble.
That's what I'm hoping for.
If it's close, I think he'll go with Mallett.
I hope so. I mean, no knocking Hoyer, nice career and all, but we know what Hoyer is, and he's not that good. He's not that good at all. He's an average quarterback at best.
And at least Mallett has the arm talent.
Right. From a talent standpoint, you're like, hey, Mallett's got something. We just haven't seen much of it at all. So either way, though, this team is still going to want to run the football, and that starts with Arian Foster. You just have to wonder how long is he going to actually be on the field.
Yeah, when he's out there, he's
one of the best.
Gets.
Yep.
13 games last season, missed week three with the hamstring, key fantasy weeks 11 and 12 groin, and then missed most of week 17 with the knee. So when he plays, he was great. He was still the number six player in the league in rushing, 14th among running backs in receiving yards. He still ran for 1,246 yards, 8 touchdowns, 4.8 yards per carry, 38, 237, 5 on 59 targets. I mean, he does everything you want. In every game he played, he put double-digit fantasy points up in a PPR. He topped 20 points 7 times, 30 points twice, 100 yards from scrimmage in 11 of 13 games, scored a touchdown in the other two. So if he was on the field and mostly healthy, he's great. Yep. We know that. But
at this point in his career, you have to build in that he's going to miss two or three games. At least.
No, but where does that put him? Is he a second-round pick? Is he a nice second-round pick? Do you feel okay about taking him in the second? I mean, because he's been great when he's on the field. But
you have to build in time off for the guy. And that's what makes him a fascinating pick.
Because their handcuff isn't very good.
It's just a guy out of the blue.
They might draft somebody else. So that puts you in a little bit of a bind, if you don't really know who's going to be the surefire handcuff. So if you do spend that second or third round pick on Foster, it's a little scary with Alfred Blue.
This will be his age 29 season. A lot of wear and tear. The hamstrings have been a real problem. I remember that groin injury last year. And it was like, oh, I'll be back. And here's one of these guys. Some guys are pretty honest. Foster does not give you. He'll just be like, you know, I'm feeling better. I think I'm – no. Like, you can just pretty much take anything he says.
And O'Brien's from the Belichick tree.
Exactly.
So he doesn't reveal anything.
Don't – if you hear the positive vibes that are – don't expect him to be on the field that week necessarily. Don't bank on it.
But here's the thing. If you can go into the season saying – you're going to get 13 games at Arian Foster.
I'll take it at this point.
The Le'Veon Bell debate. Because you know at this point you're going to get 13 games out of him if he's healthy. If you get 13 games at Arian Foster, the guy is going to produce big-time numbers for you. And he's going to be worth probably more than a second-round pick. Arian Foster was probably worth a first-round pick last year. I know he missed games, and he misses critical games. Weeks 11 and 12 he missed. I mean, those are big fantasy weeks.
Year before, he missed most. I mean, more than half the season. I mean, this stuff adds up, and it, you know, you want to say anybody can get hurt, but when he keeps doing it, he's great when he's on the field.
Anybody can get hurt, and that goes back to like the Le'Veon Bell debate with the suspension. You're like, oh, I'll just take Charles one. Well, you know, Jamal Charles is no guarantee to play 16.
Bell, games. At least that's out of his hands in terms of, you know, this is not in the with him in terms of on the field stuff. Foster is this guy gets beat up and he has trouble staying on the field, and there's a pattern of this.
Tell me how you guys feel about this. Arian Foster picked 17.87 on average in MFL 10 so far.
That's a format. That's a total format
because of how good he is when he is on the field.
I'd like to see. In redraft, but that number would be closer to 24, 25.
You think he goes, he pushes into the third round at 12 teamer in a PPR?
It'd be close. I'm trying to think last year. He was, you know, late teens, early 20s last year, and, you know, he's not getting any younger.
If you took him there, you got a good return on the investment, at least if you could have handcuffed him with Alfred Blue, which, you know, this isn't the same as the Ben Tate years when you had to take Ben Tate in the seventh round to guarantee that you were going to handcuff Foster. And at the time, I hated that.
Right.
I hated that fact that you had to do that.
By the way, with Blue, it's not like he's a lock to be the number two. I mean, I don't think he's locked himself into anything. Last season, look, they ran it a bunch. That's why Blue had some value. He wasn't particularly great, but 16 games he played, 169 carries, pretty high number for number two running back, 528 yards, 3.1 yards per carry, just one rushing touchdown, 15 for 113, one on 18 targets through the air, 6.1 fantasy points per game, 10 or more touches in 7 of the 16 games, but he topped 10 fantasy points just twice when Foster missed time in week 11. So
it's not a good sign when a guy's averaging 3.1 yards per carry and then the starter is averaging 4.8.
Yeah,
that's a disconnect.
This wasn't a situation where like, oh, the offensive line was terrible and
nope.
I don't think the offensive line was terrible at all.
No, how can one guy run for 4.8 and one guy run for 3.1?
I just don't think Alfred Blue's very good.
Yeah.
He's a guy.
He's a guy there, and like I said, he's not a lock to be the number two anyway on this team.
He was a six-round pick. The Texans aren't telling you where they drafted him that they thought he was very good. If this guy turns out to have an above-average NFL career, it's an upset. Yep.
Well, let me bring that up then. We know Foster was a late pick. Now, he has obviously paid off.
He wasn't even picked.
Right, not even a pick at all, right? And he's paid off big. Mm-hmm. Blue, a sixth-round pick, a day three guy, a late day three guy. This is a position that they look at in the draft.
Yeah, I think so.
And it's an important position.
It's a different regime.
Right.
You know, this is O'Brien. This isn't Kubiak. And Kubiak's been a guy who's gotten production out of a ton of guys. And look, Foster was just a find. The guy's good. That you don't do what Arian Foster has done in the NFL without being good. Was there some serendipity here? Did he land in the right spot with the right team? Absolutely. No doubt about it. But the guy is good. The Texans had some luck here, too.
If they never get anything out of him ever again, they've won. They've won many times over.
If they didn't get anything out of him after his 2009 season, he was good.
But considering his wear and tear, right around that time, wear and tear, Blue not being an asset they have a lot invested in, you would have to think that it's not a major necessity to get a running back, but third round?
Third or fourth, and that's when guys are going to go. And you know, this might be a team that isn't going to be in, certainly not, I don't think, the Gurley or Gordon or Ajayi tier. I don't think they're going to be in the mix maybe for TJ Yeldon or Amir Abdullah. But this might be a team that is in the Tevin Coleman, David Cobb tier of running backs. Mike Davis or Jeremy Langford, somebody like that. I wouldn't be surprised at all to see the Texans attack this position in the draft.
Another one is receiver. I mean, let Andre Johnson walk this offseason. So now they have Cecil Shorts and Nate Washington to fill in as that number two, three receiver.
Now, here's the thing. The question is, where are we at with DeAndre Hopkins? Do we think he's ready to be the man in this offense? Now, you could argue he was the man last year, but nice to have Andre Johnson lining up on the other side of the field. 76, 12, 10, 6 on 126 targets, 15.9 yards per catch, 60.3% catch rate, the number 18 wide receiver at 14.6 fantasy points per game. A very nice year for him, a big step up over what he did as a rookie, which, you know, seemed like he took steps backwards as a rookie, in fact. Four 100-yard games, the big 9 for 238.2 against the Titans in Week 13. So it takes advantage of bad matchups, good matchups for him, I should say. Fell below 10 fantasy points just 5 times. 2 of those came in the final 2 weeks. He was playing through an ankle injury, you know, and the quarterback situation was pretty terrible. So, you know, not necessarily dominate, made some big plays. Is this a guy, though, that we believe can be a consistent number one for the Texans? Where does he fit for fantasy? You know, is he a bit fluky in what he does? Or is this a guy that's kind of on the upswing and getting better? And, you know, can he be as good when he's not lining up opposite Andre Johnson anymore? I think that's the big questions we have. And the quarterback situation is just okay.
And by the way, remember that the Texans told Andre Johnson, hey, you might get 30, 40 catches next year if you stay. The Texans don't believe Andre Johnson can play at a high level anymore. They were planning, even if Johnson came back, to go with DeAndre Hopkins as their number one.
And he was pretty much the number one last year.
He was pretty much the one last year. Some fluky plays. Remember, he had that big game against the Titans that really boosted his final line. I believe 238 yards, 2 touchdowns. But he was a pretty consistent player. Just 5 times he fell below 10 fantasy points. Does that make him a number one?
I'm not ready to go there.
I'm not ready to go there, but I'll take him as a 2.
I mean, yeah, but that's the big question. Is he going to fall in that? Reasonable too.
Or do people expect him to take another step forward? And you know what? There's going to be some reasonable people who do expect him to move forward.
And like, getting back to the quarterback situation, that's given me some pause. Do I really want to invest in this guy with a very uncertain quarterback situation?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think you know what you have in Fitzpatrick, but by the same token, you know what you have in Brian Hoyer. And I'm not going to get excited about DeAndre Hopkins if Brian Hoyer is his quarterback. I mean, you can't say that about really Mallett either. At least he's a little bit of an unknown. You know what you have in Hoyer, and it's not really all that good. It's not good at all. So, yeah, I think that's why you have some pause here. Now, you add Shorts as a number 2, Nate Washington in the mix. Shorts banged up last season, 53 catches, 110 targets, 557 yards, touchdown in 13 games.
3 on 110.
That's terrible. I mean, and once again, not a great quarterback situation there. But just 10.5 yards.
No, when you're
catch,
that inefficient,
well,
though,
you're right, right.
That's a lot on the receiver.
48.2% catch rate, 10.5 yards per catch. This is a guy that has kind of made his fantasy value on his downfield plays. I didn't do that last year. Now, it's not in a bad spot for him here with Houston. And, you know, you add Nate Washington in the mix, and he's been around forever. He's not going to dominate. He's a 3-4 guy, whatever. But when you put it all together here, and then let's talk about the tight ends.
What tight ends? They have a tight end?
What the hell happened with Garrett Graham and Fedorowicz and Griffin last year? Nothing happened.
Bill O'Brien was there in New England for the Gronkowski-Hernandez revolution.
They used the tight ends at Penn State.
At Penn State, there was like 13 tight ends catching passes. Last year, I don't think there was a team in the NFL that had worse tight end production. As a matter of fact, it might not even been close.
I mean,
maybe the Cardinals.
Totally
but even
useless.
Then, John Carlson had some...
Totally useless.
Yeah. Garrett Graham had 43.7 fantasy points last year, and he was by far their most productive tight end.
Did Gronk top that in a game? I mean, he might have come close. I mean, that's unbelievable. Fedorowicz was a guy we liked a little bit coming out of Iowa. I would still keep an eye on him, Dynasty League. I'm not telling you to drop Antonio Gates for CJ Fedorowicz.
No, but he's the one to watch. Yeah, he would be the one to watch of that group, but nobody you're touching, and you know, got to think down the road here. So you look at the receiving core as a whole, not a bad group. Is you just wonder if Hopkins can be the man now and not have Andre opposite him, and with the quarterback situation not being all that great, you know, there's some question marks here. An 8-win team last year, but, you know, I feel like things could certainly go wrong in a hurry here. If they mesh,
they had a very, very easy schedule last year, being the worst team. You know, they had the number one pick
last
year. So they had an extremely easy schedule to get the 8 wins.
They're,
it doesn't help. doesn't hurt that the Jags and Titans are in your division.
Right. Now, they kind of feel like they're in that same spot. I think Jacksonville, you can make the argument, is on their way past Houston at this point in time.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
They're going to be comparable this year.
Well, I'm not saying they're there yet, but yeah. I think I like the way that the Jaguars are building.
Yeah, I do like what the Jaguars are doing. I think it is totally fair to still have a lot of questions about Blake Bortles. And that's only fair.
But that's for another podcast.
That's right.
But I mean, I think I like what the Jaguars are doing. You know what? I don't think this is a bad Houston roster in the least. And this is why
they have a quarterback. They don't have much receiver. I think they're very overrated. We just did the Chargers. I think that roster is a lot better than this Texans roster.
I think J.J. Watt is by far the best player on either roster.
He covers up a lot of blemishes.
They signed Will Fork. They brought back Kareem Jackson. They signed Raheem Moore. I think there's a lot to work with here, honestly. And that's why on the Chargers podcast, we total speculation, we thought this would be a team where if Philip Rivers were on the market, Bill O'Brien might say, Philip Rivers makes us an 11-win team, we're going to contend in the AFC. I think if they draft a receiver, it becomes interesting, because then all of a sudden you have some decent depth there. Because, you mentioned Cecil Shorts, inefficient. The guy's a nice depth option.
Yeah.
Nate Washington somehow is still hanging around the league, and he still produces from time to time.
I think those guys in their spots are fine. It's just can DeAndre Hopkins be the man?
Those guys produce because of the situations they were in. They're playing as number two.
It says Shorts really been tested as, he's been in Jacksonville, kind of just flying under the radar.
He's got
there.
110 targets. That guy should not be. He should be getting 60
It was easy
targets.
To move on from that guy. Yeah. Exactly. I think that's what you're getting at here. So, yeah, there are enough questions. They're just an okay team. I think. Now, the defense can be very good. I think we know that. But in the draft, we've talked about running back a little bit here. Receiver could be in the mix for them. The defense is pretty solid here. I think they're looking at O-line once again and trying to get that.
The problem was Suafilo last year was the second-round pick. This was a guy who everyone before the draft had pegged as, you're going to draft him at guard in the first two rounds. He's going to come in, and he's going to be a 10-year starter for you. Was not the case at all. Suafilo really struggled last year. So they could look at interior linemen, although they're pretty young along the line. They've done a good job keeping it young. You're right, Tom. Their linebacker is bad.
Brian Cushing can't stay healthy at this point in his career.
You have Brian Cushing, Akeem Dent, Mike Muhammad, all kind of playing the same position. You're right. Interior linebacker. Yep. The Texans are in rough shape. And that second level of the defense, they have a good line. They have a good secondary. The second level is a big problem for them.
And, but that defensive line will cover up a lot of weaknesses.
Maybe you don't have to invest as much in the secondary when you have – I mean, you bring Kareem Jackson back, that helps. But when you have that kind of pass rush and a guy like Watt that can just disrupt everything, you don't have to maybe invest as much money, maybe as high of a pick in those spots. So that's a possibility there. So there you go, our look at the Houston Texans heading into 2015 in the draft, and we'll see what they do there. As always, got to remind you about FanDuel.com because MLB season is in full swing, and you don't want to wait another day. Sign up now to play one-day fantasy baseball at FanDuel.com, the leader in one-day fantasy baseball for real money with immediate cash payouts. Entry fees start at just $1. You don't want to wait 6 months to win a league. Play today and win tonight. None of those season-long commitments. So if you had a rough week last week, Tom, and maybe you want to take a day off here, or maybe it's an off day for a lot of teams around the league, and you don't like the lineups or the teams that are playing, you wait. Maybe you come back with two lineups the next day. That's what I love about
it. It's a good time to jump in right now with hockey and basketball transitioning into their playoffs here. There's a couple down days for those sports, so why not jump in on baseball right now?
Why not? I'll tell you what, Cal in Nashville was happy he jumped in on opening day. He won nearly $3,600 on opening day at FanDuel. And you want to get in on that because they're paying out more than $2.5 million every single day this MLB season. So go to FanDuel.com, click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner, and use our code GURU to sign up now. Here's the special offer for new users. For every dollar you deposit, FanDuel will match it with up to $200 that gets earned as you play. That's a bonus of up to $200. Offer's only good for the first 50 people that use our code GURU. Don't forget to use our code GURU. FanDuel.com, where every day is a new season. That's FanDuel.com. FanDuel.com. Sign up today. Don't forget to get your questions in for future podcasts or reactions to the podcast you've heard today or any of the other podcasts. Use the hashtag FranchiseFocus and tweet them to us at FantasyGuruSite, at TheMattCamp, at FG_Dolan, at FG_Brawley. We'll answer them for you on Twitter or on a future podcast. More of the Franchise Focus podcast coming up right around the halfway point now. We'll be covering all the teams leading up. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers will finish that one up in the week before the draft, so you'll have time to catch up, listen in, and digest it all before the draft gets underway at the end of April. And speaking of the end of April, that is when our early bird special runs out, $24.95, $5 off the regular price. Get in now. No offseason for us. All the draft stuff, these podcasts, free agency podcasts, stuff with Greg Cosell, all kinds of stuff to get your hands on in the offseason. Of course, we'll really ramp it up when we get into July and August and into the regular season as well. So $24.95 gets you $5 off the regular price. You want to jump in with that now. That's till the end of April. That'll do it for us today. For Joe Dolan and Tom Brawley, I'm Matt Camp. We appreciate listening to another edition of the Franchise Focus Podcast right here at FantasyGuru.com.